Begin the current daf, Mesech this might cut and daf Yedald. Begin on the bottom of Gimel and Beis, four lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where we continue and we begin the third parak, Mesech this might cut and parak Ve'elu Megalchen, which that's the halacha of taking a haircut, which relates to that of the continuation of the theme of the halachas as relates to that of Chol HaMoed, and also with the related topic of mourning, which is discussed here in this parak. Taisa tells us that because in the other parak we spoke about things that we do letzarcha moyed, for example, selling produce, which are necessary for the yomtiv, which are done appropriately. So in our Mishnah, we then begin and we talk about things which are done inappropriately, but which then is permitted letzarcha moyed. As the Mishnah begins, that there are certain ve'elu megalchem moyed, these individuals are allowed to take a haircut on chelosh al moyed, although we said generally it's not, we're talking about shalekidin, but these are things that would also be permitted on chol hamoed because of the circumstances. Habama medina siyam. Someone comes a chol hamoed from overseas. Since it was beyond his control, he could not have cut his hair beforehand. So he's allowed to take a haircut on chol hamoed. Umebeis ha-shviyo, if it comes out of captivity, or v'yitim ebeis ha-surin, if it comes out of jail, which Taisa says either because they didn't let him cut his hair, or even if they let, it's not really such a great element to get your hair cut. Or Vahamanuda, Shetir Lechacham, or someone that was excommunicated, and then the sages permitted him on Chalosh HaMoed from his state of Nidui. And Vahim Mishadish Lechacham, or let's say somebody had a vow that he should not cut his haircut, and he went to the sage on Chol HaMoed, and Vahutra, now they permitted him from that, now he's able to cut his hair, which he was not able to before he undid that nether. Vahanazir, Vahamitzaira, or a Nazir, and the Mitzaira, which when they go mitumasi letarasai, meaning a nazir that was tummy, when he comes out of his tuma and he cuts his hair, then he starts over again keeping his naziris in the state of tahara, and so to mitzaira, when he comes out of his tuma of tzaras, he cuts his hair on the yomtiv because wasn't able to do before the yomtiv. So these two individuals, the nazir and the mitzaira, which are two different types of halachas, but they both have this halacha when they're coming out of their tuma to their tahara. Mitzayra always has this tama nazir. If he is tama coming out of tahara, then they're supposed to cut the hair. They also, all these individuals, cut their hair on chol hamoed. Now the elu mechabtzim hamoed, another halacha which one is not supposed to do on chol hamoed, like cutting hair, is doing laundry. But these individuals, like we said, shaloi kedin, they could go ahead and do it letzarcha hamoed and do laundry on chol hamoed. And that is again habomim nitzayam. Someone came from overseas, from a base of shvi, or out of captivity. Vayitzim b'sasurin. There was someone came out of jail, and zugetin tabav yudalim and aleph umenuda shetir lechachamim. Or someone that was in excommunication, which the sages then permitted him, took him out of his nidui. Emechim mishenash lechacham v'hotar. Again, like all those categories of the cutting of the hair. So too, if someone had a vow not to do laundry, and then they permitted him, again, all these individuals now only had an opportunity now, then they're able to go ahead and do the laundry today. So two other exceptions that are allowed for the laundry is mitbechais hayadayim, which is when someone's in the middle of eating, there's a certain like towel that they would wipe their hands on. Or mitbechais haspar, either the girsa is hasfarim, which these are the coverings which are used to roll around the svarim, around the books, or it's actually mitbechais saparim, which is actually the cloth that the barber puts on the shoulders when he's cutting the hair. So too, someone who's allowed to get his hair cut, again, if it came from overseas or came out of jail, so then they have to wash that cloth, although it's washed before the moed, but you have to constantly be washing it. Or mitbechais haspug, which is a type of a cloth that is used to to clean one's hands, face, and feet all day, or when they come out of the bath, which, like a terminology, all of in this topic, like drying, and that's the towel that you use. So all these things constantly get filthy, and again, therefore, they're permitted to be laundered on Chalosh HaMoed. So to HaZavin, if regarding Zav, Azavis, which is a female version of it, they have discharged from the genital area, Vanidus, a menstruating woman, Vayeldus, woman gave birth, V'chala Eil Mitumala Tahara, or all individuals that came out of a state of tumah to a state of tahara, ha'ere elu mutar, and they're permitted to go ahead and wash their clothing, again, because they were tumah, and you want to go ahead and purify it, they're permitted to go ahead and clean those clothing. But Bashar kolad masur, but everyone else is forbidden to do laundry on chol hamoed. That's an activity that we don't want you to be doing on chol hamoed. Now, so the Gemara asks, Bashar kolad, all of the people, my time masurin, what is the reason why we don't let them do these things of cutting their hair and of doing laundry? How come they can't do this on chol hamoed? So says the Gemara Ketnam, because like we learned in Mishnah Masechta Tainis. Anshi Mishmer, the men of the Kahanim of the Mishmer, which is 24 groups of Kahanim, every different week was a different group. So that week was their group. Anshi Maimed, similarly, in the Sur'elim, they also had 24 groups to be representatives on the Karbanos. So the people of that week, Asurun L'Sab L'Chabas, their week that they are presiding, forbidden to them to take a haircut and to do laundry, which the two halachas mentioned in our Mishnah regarding Chol HaMoed. But on Thursdays, they're allowed to because of honoring the Shabbos of the upcoming Shabbos that's coming. Now, he says, my time, what's the reason that Mishnah set the time is that they can't do laundry or cut their hair, get a haircut? It's Kadeshli Kuntul Mishmartin, Kashem and the Bum, because we don't want them to come into their group when they're in the state of disgrace. So we say, you're not going to have to do it, therefore they can make sure to do it before the week starts. We don't want people coming in to the Yom Tov in a state of disgrace, where their clothing is not laundered and their hair is not cut. So someone that's negligent and did not cut his hair before the Yom Tov, and now he wants to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, the rabbis were stringent and says, no, since you were not diligent to take the haircut before the Yom Tov, where that you didn't make sure not to come into the Yom Tov in a state of disgrace, because if we let you take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, then people wouldn't do it before. It says, like, I'll have time on Chol HaMoed, and then they're going to come into the Yom Tov in a state of disgrace. Therefore, we said, no, you're not allowed to, just like we have the halacha in Masechtas Tainis regarding the people of the Mishmer and the Maimon. But again, in our Mishnah, we spoke about exceptions that are allowed either because state of oinus or because these are things that are constantly getting dirty, as Taisus points out regarding that of young little children, where those things are allowed to be laundered on Chol HaShemayit. Now, Boyer B'zeh had the following question. Avdulei Aveda Erev HaRegel. If, let's say, someone had a lost object, he lost something important on the Erev Yom Tov, well, he didn't have time to get to the barber and cut his hair before Yom Tov. So on the one hand, do you say keeping the anus mutter, since it was beyond his control, like all the cases in our Mishnah, which is oinus, is going to be permitted, and you could do cut your hair on Chol HaMoed? Maybe no, keeping the lemucha milsa, since it's not obvious. Not everyone knows that this person had an extenuating circumstance in Erev Yom Tov. Everyone's going to say, oh, he deliberately waited to push it off till Chol HaMoed to get his hair cut. So then, therefore, he would not be able to, not like someone who came from overseas or someone who was let out of jail. Maybe he cannot get the haircut on Chol HaMoed. So Abaya said the following statement. People are going to say, Kol HaSarikin, all the decorated matzahs, asur and are forbidden because of a problem of chametz, and Sarika Baisis Mutarin, but the decorated matzahs of Baisis, which was his name, is going to be permitted. In other words, what this is referring to is that Baisis was an individual that was able to engrave his breads without delay because he had a certain press, a certain machine that would do it on instantaneous. And it wouldn't be a problem about becoming chametzik if you wanted to make the matzah and engraving the bread for Pesach. Even so, the sages says it's going to be forbidden because people are going to say, what? His matzahs, which are engraved, are permitted. Everyone else is forbidden. No one's going to be able to make that differentiation. So Abai is addressing that in our sugya too. Here also, since not everybody knows that he had an extenuating circumstance on every Yom Tov, they're going to say, what? Everyone's forbidden to take a haircut and this guy's permitted? And therefore, based on that Talmudic logic, he says, no, the person who lost the lost object cannot take the haircut on Chol HaMoed. Tosfos Gemara responds back and says, wait a second, Tamecha, according to your reasoning, Abaya, he says the following halacha, kol mi she'ein le'el cholik echad, if someone only has one garment to wear, mutal l'chabse b'chol HaShemayit, he's allowed to wash it, do laundry for it, on Chol HaShemayit, which that's also not obvious to everyone that he only has one article of clothing. What do you mean? Hasan Nami Yermi, there people will also say, what? Kol HaSarik and Asurin, the same concept that all the decorated matzahs are forbidden, Sriki Baisim Matarin, and that a Baisim specifically is permitted. People don't know the differentiation here. Also, they can see him doing laundry. Who cares that he has one article of clothing? People are not going to know the differentiation. So why don't you say that same Svari that you're saying, which does not allow this one who lost a Naveh Derev Yom Tov to take a haircut, why do you let this guy with one shirt to do the laundry? Says the Gemara, no, Harid Malon, that we learned that Amma Mabar Ravashi says, because a Zoyday Mechiach Lav, his belt will prove that he only has one article of clothing. And because what happens is, since he only has one article of clothing, he takes it off and he has to cloak himself with his undershirt and he ties himself with the belt to keep his stuff on. And he goes and he's washing his one shirt. And everybody sees that he only has one shirt because he's not wearing a shirt when he's doing laundry on that shirt. So the belt that's underneath is showing, and therefore it is indicative. In contrast, over here, not everyone knows that he lost Naveda, and therefore he would not be able to get his hair cut on Chol HaMoed. That's one version of the conversation. Rav Ashi Masni, he taught that Boreb Zeyeb Zeyeb asked the question, Uman, regarding a craftsman. For example, let's say a barber where everyone comes from Erev Yom Tov, and they see Shavdu Aveda Erev Regel. They see everyone's coming to the barber. He's the guy. There's long lines out there. And he's looking for something important on Erev Yom Tov, and that it's something beyond his control. And he couldn't get a haircut himself. Now, what's the halacha? What's the question? Kibin de Umanu, since we say that he's a professional and Mucha Milsa, so it's obvious. Everyone knows. They know, like, oh, he may. Yeah, Erev Yom Tov. Yeah, we're all waiting. And guess what? The barber is trying to find something. So therefore, he would be able to get his hair cut on Chol HaMoed. Maybe no, keeping the Mucha Milsa Kihanach. Maybe, but it's still not as evident as the case of the Mishnah, which we said they could get the hair cut because everybody knows he was in jail. So maybe Loi, maybe these cases, which although many people knew, but not everybody knew, maybe he's not allowed to get his hair cut. So it's going to take a little sense. It's not clear what the halacha would be in the case of an Uman that had an Oinus in there, Pesach, if he'd be able to get his hair cut on Chol HaMoed. Now, one of the cases in the Mishnah was, remember, Din Siyam. Someone who came from overseas, he's allowed to get a haircut, he's allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Says Gemara Masnin, the like Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Tanya learned the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, Habomim in Din Zayam, someone comes from overseas, lo yigaleach, he's not allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because he left without permission. In other words, since he went, not with permission from others, rather, meaning he went with his own desire, it was in his own volition, so he's not an oinus, not beyond his control, because he had the choice to go on this journey and not. So therefore, he's not allowed to go ahead and cut his hair on Chol HaMoed. Our Mishnah says she could, is obviously not going to be Hidu. Now, Amar Rav, he qualifies as follows. He says, wait, Lashut, if somebody went out unnecessarily, he went because he wanted to take a vacation, he wanted to tour the world, get a world tour, and to see what's going on, and he came back on Chol HaMoed. So you're right. There, Divrei HaKol Asur, everyone would agree, even the town of our Mishnah, not to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, even though you just came back from overseas. Limazon is to the other extreme. Let's say someone went, he had to leave because he had to make parnasa, he had to get food, and he didn't have money, and he comes back after the trip, the business trip, on Chol HaMoed. Divrei HaKol Mutar, everyone's going to agree that it's permitted to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, even Rabbi Yehuda, because he left because it was a oinus, it was beyond his control, he didn't have food to put on the table. Their machlekes was only if he had a lot of money, but he wanted to make a big business deal to make more profit. That's a machlekes. Ma Rabbi Yehuda is medame lekalasher. He compares that to someone who's just taking a tour. It was not necessary, and therefore it's not an oinus, and that your kemei chol moed does not allow you to get a haircut. But Amar, the Chacham, Medama Lekil Mazainas, the town of our Mishnah compares it to ultimately Parnasa. Yes, you have money right now, but you always need to be worried about Parnasa. And therefore, since it was for sustenance, it would be considered as oinus, and if you came back to Chol HaMoed, you'd be able to get a haircut. However, in this qualification of Rava, Meisver, the Gemara is from the following Bryson. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says in reference to this Machlekes, he says, Nirin de Rebbe Huda. It would appear to me, Rebbe, says Rebbe, the opinion of Rebbe Huda, that one who comes back from overseas of Chol HaMoed is not allowed to get a haircut. Kishayot Shle Bishos. If he left without Rishos, meaning from others, he went on his own intention. But V'Divrei Chacham, it would appear the opinion of the sages of our Mishnah who permit him to get a haircut, if Kishayotze B'Shos, if he left with permission. Says the Gemara, in way of asking on Rava, Mai Shaloi B'Shos, what does Rebbe mean when he says it appears the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, when the person left, Shaloi B'Shos, that you can't get a haircut on Chol HaShemayit. Elim, if you think it means lashut, without permission, because what are you going for? You're going for a tour? You're going sightseeing? That's where he's saying it appears to him the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But what do you mean? V'amar, but you, Rava, said, Divrei HaKol Asur. Everyone agrees in that case it's going to be forbidden to take a haircut. What's he saying? It appears the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But both of them agree in that case. Okay, so what are you going to say? V'elam azaynus. You're going to say, no, it's talking about when you're leaving for sustenance, because you got to put bread on the table. What I mean, V'amar Divrei HaKol Mutar, everyone that says it's going to be permitted, even Rabbi Yehuda. So you can't say that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, in that case it would be forbidden, because even he agrees that there you could get a haircut. Okay, Elab Shita, so obviously we're fine-tuning it. It's not one of the extremes. It's not one of the one that's for sure forbidden or the one that's for sure permitted. Elab Shita Larvicha, must be that he's talking about the case of when it's for profit. And that's where Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that, oh, but it appears the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you wouldn't be able to take a haircut in that case because that's similar to Lashut, like just taking a tour. But Ema Seifa, but look at the next words of Rebbe in that Braisa. He says, but Nirin Dibri Chacham, it appeared the opinion of the Chachamim that you are allowed to take a haircut when you come Chol HaMoed, when you came back from overseas, Kishiyata Bishus, when you left with permission. Now, my Bishus, what is the case of leaving with permission? Elim Alamazayin is if you think it's for sustenance, you got to put bread on the table, that's Rishus because it's you need to be able to provide for your family. Ha'amr Dibri Akal Mutter, you said everyone would agree in that case, Mutter. What do you think like the Chacham? Even Rabbi Yehuda would agree in that case. So, Ve'elular Vich, it must be talking about the case that when it's for profit, and even then it's permitted. But for Amr Nirin Rabbi Yehuda Baha, but you just explained that that's the case of the ratio that we agree to Rabbi Yehuda in that case, and that it would be forbidden to take a haircut. So Rabbi is essentially contradicting himself. In the beginning, he says it appears to him the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which says that by harvach of a prophet, it would be forbidden to take a haircut. In the Sefer, he's saying it appears the opinion of Chachamim, who says it's permitted when you come to a prophet. Rather, what the Gemara is proving, it would seem, is that you could see from the Bryce's wording that it's not the way Rava had qualified that by when you're going for touring and when you're going for mezainis that there's no machlekes. Must be that there is a machlekes in those cases, because if the machlekes is only by the case of the Arvacha, so what would you say it appear in one like Rabbi Yehuda and one like the Chacham? They only disagree in that case. And how can you say halachas like both of them? Because either one of the extremes, they're not disagreeing to say that you were saying one opinion versus the other opinion. So you're reading the Braisa wrong. The Braisa is not referring to what Rebbe holds is permitted. And he's not saying that I think I agree with this opinion over here and this opinion like this. Rather, he's actually just coming to qualify for us what is their machlekes and what are they disagreeing. And that's what he's saying. Nirin de Rebbe Yehuda l'Rabbanan. When he says Nirin de Rebbe Yehuda, it doesn't mean appears to me. It's that the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda appears to the Rabbanan that they wouldn't agree, that they wouldn't disagree, they would agree that it's going to be forbidden to take a haircut. When? Kishiyotzeh shel b'shus. When you leave without permission, mind you, what's the case of leaving without permission? Why are you leaving on the... Is lashud, is you're just going to for sightseeing. Ah, shafel chacham lo yinecha kukav elav. Because even the chacham don't disagree in the case of lashud. El ravicha, they only disagree in the case of for profit. Of a lashud maidle, but if you're going just for sightseeing, they would agree that's going to be asa. That's what nirin means. Not nirin to me, nirin to even his disputants. And ben nirin de rabbanon le Rabbi Yehuda, when it says it appears the opinion of rabbanon, it means to who? To Rabbi Yehuda. When does Rabbi Yehuda agree that you're allowed to take a haircut? Kishiyatza b'shus, when you have permission. Umayni, what is that? Lemazaynis, that's for sustenance. Kishafil Rabbi Yehuda nechgalim alavichal, because even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree with him, only when it's for profit. Avil mazaynis, but if you got to put bread on the table, maidlo, he agrees, and that's the interpretation of the Braisa, and there was not difficult on Rabbi's qualification. Now, continuing on this theme regarding who's allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaShemayid, and regards to the situations of Einis, so Amar Shmuel, he says, katna noil b'mayid. If you have a child that's born on Chol HaMayid, and on Yom Tov, and he has large hair, this baby. So mutlig leich b'mayid, you're allowed to go ahead and cut that hair on Chol HaMoed, which is the hair on the child, on the baby's head, that's paining the baby. Why? There's no greater, quote, jail than being in the mother's womb, where, meaning, you're an einus, and we couldn't have cut it before Yom Tov. And just like coming out of jail allows you to cut on Chol HaMoed, so to the baby, which was locked up in the mother's womb, the hair could be cut on Chol HaShemayid. Now, the Gemara makes a diuk. However, it sounds like b'mayirin. This is only if the baby was born on Yom Tov, mikar alai. But if the baby was born before the Yom Tov and you didn't cut it before Yom Tov, since you were able to cut it before the Yom Tov, then you wouldn't be able to cut on Chol HaShemayid. But Master of Pinchas, the Pinchas asked from the following brayse on this. Kol elu she'amru mutar legaleich b'mayid. The brayse tells us an important qualification. The rule is that wherever they said that you're allowed to go ahead and get a haircut on Chol HaShemayid, mutar legaleich b'mayevli, those are the same circumstances, although you're not allowed to cut your hair during mourning. But if it would be a circumstance that it would allow you on Chol HaMoed, that would be the same circumstance that would allow the person to cut the hair during the days of mourning. Now, the Gemara makes an inference, ha'asa l'galeich b'mayid, but it sounds like if that's a situation that you cannot cut your hair on Chol HaShemayid, so then asa l'galeich b'mayevli, that would be a certain circumstance that you would not be able to cut your hair during the days of mourning. Now, as you continue to obey, so the Gemara asks the following question. V'yamrit katan is beplukta. Now, if you're going to say that regarding a child, there's a differentiation, there's a difference. If the baby was born before Yom Tov, then you said you cannot cut his hair on Chol HaShemayid. But if he's born on Yom Tov, then you could cut it on Chol HaShemayid. So then we should say, okay, so since you're not allowed to cut the child's hair on Chol HaShemayid, so then it would be forbidden also in that type of circumstance, where if it was existing before the days of mourning, then also it would be forbidden for the child. If before the mourning happened, before the close relative died, they were able to take a haircut, then you wouldn't be able to cut the hair on during the days of mourning. So nimtzis avelus noheges b'katan. So based on this comparison, it sounds like that the laws of mourning apply to a child, because he's saying if a child cannot cut the hair on chalash amayid, then they can't cut the hair during the days of mourning. But v'tan learned the brayso that is not true. There's no such law of mourning for children. The halacha is mekaren l'katan. We tear the garments of a child only when they agmas nefesh, only because of the torment that we want people to see. Even this young little kid, their garments are torn, they did kriya, and everyone who sees that is going to cry. And it's going to be an increase of the honor of the one who passed away. But not because the child has any laws of mourning. But what do you mean? If a law of you can't cut your hair on Chol HaShamayim, then you shouldn't be able to cut the hair on Avelis, which it would be a law of Avelis. But we see there is no law of Avelis for a child. So Mavashi says, no, the whole question doesn't start. Mikutani, did we learn this, Dig, the inference that you were asking from, that Ha'asurin, but if it's forbidden, which sounds like that those who are forbidden to cut the hair on Chol HaShamayim, they're for sure going to be forbidden to cut the hair during mourning? No, we didn't say that, Dig. Dilma, maybe yesh mehen aser. There are people that would be forbidden, meaning all other people that are not allowed to cut the hair on Chol HaShamayim, yes, they would be forbidden to cut the hair during the days of mourning. But v'yesh men mutter, maybe there are those that would be permitted. For example, like this child who is born before the Yom Tov, that although he's not allowed to cut his hair on Yom Tov, he would be allowed to cut his hair during the days of mourning. All we said was that if there is no law of not cutting your hair on Chol HaMoed, then there's no law of preparing you on the day of mourning. But the deacon of saying, but if it would be, then it would be, that might be for some people, not necessarily for all. And yes, could be a minor, could not cut his hair on Chol HaMoed, but he would be allowed to cut his hair during the mourning because there is no laws of avelos for a child. Another version, he taught the teaching like this. That Amar Shmuel said, not like the first version. That a child is allowed to cut his hair on Chol HaMoed. Not like the first version that said, oh, he's like being let out of jail, so it's only if he was born on Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed, then you're allowed to cut his hair, but before you wouldn't. No. This version has it that doesn't make a difference if he's born on Yom Tov or even before Yom Tov. There's no problem about the child getting his hair cut on Chol HaShamayim. In this version, it says, instead of asking a question, it says, oh, this is exactly what we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa said, wherever they said that you're allowed to take your hair on Chol HaShamayim, let's say someone came from overseas, let out of jail, and so on. So those are the individuals that would be allowed to also get their hair cut during the days of mourning. Now the inference is, the diuk is, but if you're not allowed to take your haircut on Chol HaShamayim, then you're not allowed to go ahead and take your haircut on the days of mourning. Now, if you would think to say that Amrit Katan also that a child would be forbidden, we're saying that you're not forbidden. And that's what we're proving, because if you would think to say that a child would be forbidden to cut his hair on Chol HaShamayim, nimtzis avelus neheges b'katan, then you would say, oh, then this morning, the child also cannot cut his hair during the morning. But v'tan lo nabrais and mekaren l'katan me'agmas nefesh, the only rice kriya, tear the garment of the child, so that other people should have, be disheartened and cry, but not that there's any laws intrinsic of avelus for the minor. So you see, like Shmuel is saying, that yes, that there is no problem about the haircut for the child, and under any circumstance, he's always allowed to, and if he's allowed to cut his hair during the morning, because or else you would see that there is mourning, and there is no laws of mourning for the child. Tochem Rav Ashi says, no, it's not a proof, similar to the inverse of the first version. Miktani, did we say, ha'asurin, but that if you're forbidden the Chol HaMoed, then you're forbidden during the days of mourning? No. Dema yeshmen asa, beyeshmen mutter, maybe some would be forbidden, some would be permitted, and it wouldn't be a raya, it could be a child would be forbidden to cut his hair if he was able to do it from before Yom Tov, and still would not be forbidden on that of the avelus, because there is no laws of avelus for that of a child. Later discussion regarding the laws of mourning, which a lot of this perek discusses the laws of mourning, which relates to, as we just related it, to the laws of Chol HaShamayim. Aval ein noyga b'losi b'regel. A mourner does not custom of the laws of mourning b'regel on the Yom Tov. How do we know this? It says the pasuk in the Devarim. It says b'samachta b'chagecha. You should rejoice in your holiday. You see, you have to be happy and not act in mourning, as the Gemara explains. Because i'avelus d'mikarhu, if this was a mourning that started already before the Yom Tov, so then asya seder rabim, then the positive commandment of the Jewish people as a whole, which is v'samachta, comes along v'dachya seder yachin and overrides a personal mitzvah saseh, which is that of mourning. Which actually, it's not only because you're the only one mourning, it's because like the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, avel yachid asilach, which there literally means say an only child, I'm going to make it for you. But you see that the asya of avelus is always an individual experience. So the public assay is going to overwrite the individual assay. And vi avelus tahashtahu, and if it's, let's say, it's a mourning of now, which is that his close relative passed away on the Yom Tov, well then, then for sure you're not going to let the positive commandment of the individual reject the pre-existing positive commandment of the tzibur, of the public, of the samach debechagech. Now, related, however, the Gemara asks, what's with menuda? Which these are all related ideas of prohibited and customs applying to their circumstances. Menuda is someone who is excommunicated because of a certain rabbinic injunction on this person because of his situation of not keeping to certain laws or not listening to the Din Torah. So someone who is excommunicated, Maoshinig Nidu Beregel, does he have a halacha of Nidu of excommunication on the Yomtiv? Or like we said by Avelis, that it doesn't apply, but Samachta Bechagecha, what would you say the halacha would be regarding a person in Nidu? So Amar Abayi, so he says, Toshama, it's being arrived in the following Braisa that Nidu does apply. Because the Braisa says, Don Adin Nefashas, we have court cases of capital punishment on Chol HaShemayid, not on Yomtiv, because you're not allowed to, because it's rabbinically prohibited, but on Chol HaShemayid, you'll have capital punishment cases of Bedinim Akis and those which relate to that of Lashes, Bedinim Amunis, and that relating to financial court cases. Now, the inference is that for the fact that you're going to have these court cases on Chol HaShemayid, the inference is that V'iloy Tzaisin, and if the person's not going to listen to the judgment, Misham Tinle, we excommunicate him and put him into a state of Nidui on Chol HaShemayid. Because that's inherent if someone's not going to listen, you're having these court cases. Now, the Isar Gedaydech, the Ivy would think to say that Ein Noig Nidu B'Regel, that we don't have the laws of excommunication on the Yomtiv. So, Mishumet V'Asi Mikar, so if someone is already pre-existing, already excommunicated, you're telling me, Asi Regel B'Dachile, that the Yomtiv would come along and push away the Nidui, and that he wouldn't have the Halachas of Nidui on Yomtiv. So, Hashtu Misham Tin Le'anan, you think now we're going to, on Yomtiv itself, on Cholamayit, go and excommunicate him? Obviously, that, yeah, we don't remove the excommunication. And if we have the court cases, that if he doesn't listen, we will put him in, because the laws of Nidu do apply on Chol HaShemayid. So Shmuel Abayi says, how do you know? The dilemma may be, this that we said in the Braisa, that we have these court cases, we don't say, oh, that we're going to say that, oh, this person is liable and this person is meritorious, and that to therefore infer from that, that if the person is not going to listen to the judgment, that would then put him in Cheirim and Nidui. No. Maybe it's only Leyuni Bedine. Maybe we only say that we're going to start looking into the court case. We'll start the proceedings, but we won't say anything at all to hear if he's not going to listen to then put him in Nidu, because maybe Nidu does not apply on Chol HaShemayid. And Abayi proves his point. He says, De'ile Temoche, if you don't say this, what I'm saying, that it's not to really go and execute the judgment, it just means to start looking into the proceedings, well then, Dine Nefashas Tiktani, then one of the cases the Braisa says that we have capital punishment case on Chol HaShemayid. You think Hachaname de Katlan Lay, that they'll go and actually execute him on Chol HaShemayid? You can't say that, because then it's going to prevent the court, the judges, from having the joy in Yomtiv, which we said that we don't want to override the Samach B'Chagecha. Because Tanu Lina Breisa, B'Kivayim, says, Minayin LeSanhedrin, from where do we know regarding the judges of the Sanhedrin, Shehargos HaNefesh, which if they execute somebody, She'in Toimin Kol Yisim, they're not allowed to taste anything the whole entire day. Tanu Lina, because it says in the Pasuk of Yikra, Le'soichlu Al Adam, you cannot eat on the blood. Which one of the ways of interpreting is, that if there's blood on their hands, because they executed someone, they're not eat the whole day. So, obviously, we're not going to let them execute because we need them to have Simchas Yomtiv throughout the Yomtiv, and they need to eat. Ella obviously says Abai, it only means Leyun Bedine, just to look into the court proceedings. Hachanam, Leyun Bedine, here also, it just means to look into it, but it's not to say you're Chayiv and you're Zaka, and that then he won't listen, and then we'll be Meshamadim, because obviously that's going to be part of the proceedings. No, maybe Nidu does apply, and we're not going to even tell them if you're Chayiv or not, to see if he's going to listen or not. To which Omalei Rav Yisus says back to Abai, he says, wait a second. MK, if that's the case, that we're just looking in, we're not going to tell them what our findings are. Nimtzis ma'anas dinay. Comes out that you're afflicting his judgment, because if you don't tell him right away what the judgment was, it's painful for the person, because it's prolonging his agony to know what that is, and that's a prohibition of the Torah of being ma'anas adin. And as the Gir says, Ella, as Rashi has that word in the Gemara, that obviously when we say dun and dinay, that we have the court case, it means we totally finished the court case, yes, even on Chol HaShemayid. And therefore, yes, Rabbi says, you could infer from that if the person does not listen, that we are Misham Tinle, we do put him in Chayim, we do make a Nidu on him. And therefore, we could obviously prove that the laws of Nidu do apply on the Yomtiv. But then you said, if that's the case, wait a second, so that you can prevent the judges from Simchas Yomtiv, because that means that we're following through on the court case, and one of them was capital punishment, that means they're going to execute him, and then the judges can't eat. So Rabbi says, that's not difficult. Because we're talking about the Asu Mitzafra Ma'ayin Bedini. We're talking about where they came in the morning, and they looked into his court case. Then va'ayliv achli v'shasa kol yom, and then they go and they go in and they eat and they drink all day long. They'll have the simchas yomtiv. Then they come right before sunset, the gamrinan ledine, and they finalize the judgment, and they execute him, and then the day is over. But then they have the Simchas Yomtov, and then it's already the next day. And there was not a difficulty how they actually could execute someone and still have Simchas Yomtov. But then Omar Abaye says, Tashma, he says, I'll bring a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, regarding the individuals that, as the title of our parak is, Ve'il Megalchem, that they could get a hirkan Chol Shemoyed. And we said, one of the cases was, Umenuda, someone who was in Nidui, She'etu L'chachamim, where the sages permitted him, took him out of his state of Nidui, which the assumption right now the Gemara is, what that means to say is, because every Menuda, they're permitting him from his Nidui on Regal, because Nidui does not apply on Regal. So says Abaye, you see that it does not apply. You're trying to tell me, Rabbi Yosef, that does apply. No, you see, Menuda is Hetiru Lechacham. Which Amar Rava, Rava says to Abaye, Mik Tani does say, Shehetiruhu Chachamim, that because the sages permit every Nidui? No, it means, it says, Shehetiru Lechacham Ketani. It says that the sages permitted to him. Why would they permit his Nidui? It's very simple. The Azla Faisal Badin, he went and he appeased his litigant on Chol HaMoed. Vasa Kameh D'Rabban, that comes in front of the rabbis, meaning the courts in his generation. And but surely they'll permit his need because the whole point was because he wasn't accepting the judgment. Here he's accepting and he goes and he appeases and he pays up and he does what he has to do. So such a person, yes, could get his hair cut. But that's not a riot that every single person that is a need will be permitted. And no, you could still say that the laws of need do apply. So the Gemara continues now with a related discussion. Mitzayra. So we said that Avelos does not apply. Regarding Menuda, we said it could apply. What's the halacha of Mitzayra? Maushiyanik Tzarat Tiberdekel. What's the halacha? Does he treat his halachas of Tzaras normally on Chol HaShemoed, meaning that he should not be able to come into the camp of all the Jewish people and that he cannot cut his hair? What's the halacha of Mitzayra on Yom Tov? Some Abaye says, Tashma Tzvinger Rai from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said one of the cases of those that are permitted to go ahead and get their hair cut is Vahanazir Vahamitzayra, the Nazir, and the Mitzayra, when they go Mitumas LaTarasai, as we explained in the Mishnah, when they go from the state of Tumah to Tara, which a Nazir that became Tamei, or Mitzayra that's always Tamei, which then they have to cut their hair. Oh, they're allowed to do that if that happened on Chol HaShemoed. Now, the inference is, Habimei Tumasai, but during his state of Tumah, that Nohig, that then that would apply the Tzaras on the Yom Tov. It's only when he's coming out of it, but it sounds like in his state, then they would have those halachas. Rosh Hashanah says, no, it's not a raya, because Lo Miboy Kamar. We're saying, you don't have to say. We don't have to say that during his days of Tumah, actually, Deloy Nahog, that actually we don't treat him as Mitzayr on Yom Tov. We won't have to have Simchas Yom Tov. A lot of coming to Shul, a lot of coming to the Machna. Aval Tarasei Nigzer, but actually, interestingly, we would have thought when he goes to a state of Tahara, actually we would decree that he's not allowed to cut his hair on Chol HaShemoed. Why? Why would that be more stringent? Because since when he's cutting his hair, he's going to have to bring a carbon when the Nazir or the Mitzayra is going past their state of Tumah, they have to bring a carbon. So the problem is Shema Yisha Karbonaisav, he might delay bringing his Karbonas until the last days of Yom Tov, and bring it then. The problem is, those are called Karbonas Yochad, those are individual Karbonas, which are forbidden to be brought on Yom Tov. So you would think that actually, for that, we shouldn't let him cut his hair, because then he's bringing his Karbon, he might bring a Karbon Yochad on Yom Tov, which is forbidden, which are Malachas, that you can only do a Karbonas Tzibur, which are have designated dates. Well, I'm just saying we're not concerned from that even though there he's allowed to, but B'mei Tumas, it could be that for sure, we let him do the haircut, because we don't have the laws of Tzaras on Chol HaShemoed. So the Gemara did not prove it. So Amar Rabbi says, Tashma Tzvinger Rai from the following Braisa. The Braisa quotes the Pasuk, V'hatzeruah, which the Pasuk, there is Tumah, someone who has Tzaras of a Nega, so he has to tear his garments, and his head has to be, he has to let his hair grow long, and he has to cover his head till his lips, and he has to call out, Tamei, Tamei. Now, the word V'tzeruah is extra, because it's saying he has a Nega. So what's the extra word V'tzeruah coming to say? It's coming to L'Rabbis Kohen Gadol to even include the Kohen Gadol that he also has to have the halachas of Tzaras. Now, that's what the Braisa says. So it says, Rava, V'Kohen Gadol Chol HaShana, the high priest, all year round, is K'regel L'Kul Amadami, is essentially the halachic status of a regular person, how he is on Yom Tov. Why? Because not like the Mishnah Masechtas Haris that says, Kohen Gadol, a high priest, Makrev Einin. He could sacrifice Karbanos even as an Einin, which is someone who lost his relative that same day. How do we know this? From the fact that Aaron said to Moshe, he said, what? Because Moshe was accusing what they had done. He said, V'chalti chattas hayoyim? Do you think I ate a chattas today? What do I mean? I'm an Einin. I lost my two sons today. He didn't tell Moshe, what? V'krav, do you think I sacrificed today? Which sounds like that he did sacrifice, even though he was an Einin that day. Which from there we learned that a Kohen Gadol could be makrid even as an Einin. But everyone else, every other day of the year, An einan cannot bring its karbanos, as the Gemara tells us later on the next daven, says vavim abeis, the word shlamim, the peace offering that a person brings, means when he's shalom, when he's complete, not when he's an einan, which is not complete because he lost one of his close relatives. But on the yomtiv, he's allowed to send his karbanos. So we see that a kohen gadol, it's an einan, who's allowed to sacrifice all year round. But vein oichel, but he cannot eat like we brought from the pasuk, he's not allowed to eat. But one thing we see is that his status all year round is, which he's allowed to do the hakrava as an einan, is like a regular person has on Yom Tov. Okay, so we're comparing those two states. Now we learned that the kohen gadol has the halachas of tzaras. Oh, so shema mino, we can infer from that noig tzaratoi, that the tzaras of a regular mitzayra, it does apply beregel. Shema mino, because a kohen gadol is a person on Yom Tov, and just like kohen gadol has tzaras, so a regular person on a regel also has tzaras, and therefore the halachas of his tzaras does apply on Chol HaShemayit, and therefore he has all the prohibitions, like cutting his hair, that he cannot do on Chol HaShemayit, and that he cannot come into the machlan and so on.